Lobbyists Talk on KTNF AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. We appreciate you tuning in or streaming this morning. Today is Sunday, May 6th, 2018. I'm your host, Stephanie Zavan, and my guest today is Leanne Lord. During this live show, we welcome your phone calls to 952-946-6205, emails to radio@minnesotaatheists.org, or questions on Twitter directed to Atheists Talk. You can still reach us by email or social media if you're listening to the show later. The debate about the appropriate bounds of humor broke out again last weekend with Michelle Wolf's performance at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. But it's been heated and ongoing for years, if not decades. Who should be the target of jokes? What's off limits, if anything? If we put limits on comedy, will it die a pitiful little death or get stronger? My guest today is Leanne Lord. She's a stand-up comedian, one of the co-hosts of the Star Talk podcast, and writer of several books, including most recently, Real Women Do It Standing Up. She was one of the faces of the African Americans for Humanism billboard campaign and has performed at several atheist conferences. She joins me today to talk about being funny without being a jerk. Good morning, Leanne. Welcome to Atheist Talk.
Good morning. That's a tall order.
I don't promise we'll get to all the answers, but it should at least be, I think, a less frustrating discussion than a lot of the ones that, say, happen on social media. So at least I'm hoping so.
Oh, wow. If that's the bar, then completely less controversial than that.
Perfect. All right. Before we get started talking about comedy in general, what attracted you to stand-up comedy?
Oh, my goodness. A couple of things. One, I am very fortunate. I come from what I believe is a very funny family. My parents were hilarious. They were amazing storytellers. So, you know, I grew up with, you know, humor and sarcasm and all of that sort of baked in. But then it also, you know, very deliberately became a defense mechanism. You know, like a lot of comics say, you know, I was smart, I was good in school, I was bullied, and I'm like, how do I head this off? And I thought humor would be a way to do it. And so, yes, the teasing diminished significantly, you know, after sixth grade. But then, so that innate sense of humor from the family and then doing it deliberately in junior high just sort of led to, you know, theater and performing and loving being on stage and being the funny one for my friends. And, you know, I'd be flipping channels, and if there was a brick wall and a microphone, that's what I was doing for the rest of the evening, was watching comedy. So I just always had this through line of it running through my life, and was crazy enough to say, hey, let's try it myself for real, and fell in love, completely head over heels in love with doing it.
So the first time I saw you perform was at a donor's dinner at a conference. I could not afford actually to go to the donor's dinner on my own. I was a guest of one of the donors. And it was kind of a surreal experience, because there you were standing on stage being hilarious, and the room was completely divided. There were the younger staff of the organization, mostly female, a few people in the room who were people of color, me who grew up on very subversive comedy, and we were all laughing our heads off, and the rest of the room was older white people with a bunch of money who looked very, very, very uncomfortable. Because you were talking about being female and you were talking about being black. And it was one of those things that I said then, and this was several years ago, so I don't know why I'm only getting around to it now, that I needed to interview you about comedy. And so when I think of that, and I think of how you just delighted some people who were expecting absolutely nothing like that at a swanky little dinner, and and made a bunch of the guests uncomfortable at the same time. When you're creating comedy, are there any particular bounds or restrictions that you put on your work?
Actually, yes, there are. I was having a conversation about this the other night, that I won't joke about something that I'm still too angry about. Because if I can't get past the anger to make it funny, then that's a topic I won't touch on stage, because then I'm not doing my job. My job is, you know, to entertain and make people laugh. Now, clearly, I can't control all of that. People come to a comedy show with their own baggage and their own issues. You know, some people really come, you know, minds and hearts and arms crossed, you know, like, make me laugh, or this, I don't like this, which is perplexing to me. So sometimes I think maybe the first stop should be therapy, then comedy, to make one, you know, perhaps more open and ready for a pleasurable experience. And, you know, to realize sometimes it's a joke. Now there's a lot of truth wrapped in humor, which that is, I think, what makes people uncomfortable if it's not their experience, but it's the softest way to have that experience. So why not embrace it? You know, like, this is not what I'm used to, but you're sitting at a table with other people, you're safe, you have a drink in your hands, go with it. But to answer your questions very, very specifically, yeah, if I'm too angry or upset about an issue, and I haven't gotten past that anger to find the funny, then I won't bring that on stage yet.
And do you feel putting restrictions on your work hampers your ability to be funny in any way?
No, especially not that restriction. I think that's fair. Again, because there's still an inherent responsibility to entertain. And so I don't even consider that a restriction. That's just a, you know, how I like to work my craft and how I do it. I also try to be mindful of who's in the audience and what material that I have that I think will relate to them. Sometimes I'm wrong. You know, less and less now, you know, as I get older, and I've been doing this a very, very long time. But again, there are circumstances that are beyond my control, and I'm always trying to bring my best. And because I think intention plays a very big part of what an artist brings to the stage, and how people interpret that.
So when you do see a comedian who says, you know, if you tell me, one of the perpetual ones is, if you tell me I can't make rape jokes, then I can't be funny, then you're killing comedy. What's your response when you hear that?
Okay, I'm going to respond as a human being. The minute someone tells a grown-up, or even a kid, not to do something, that's now the first thing we want to do. It really is. I remember performing at a college. I won't name them. And I get to the campus, and they say, it's like 5 minutes before the show, which is usually when this happens. They said, okay, listen, don't do any jokes about religion or date rape. And I am immediately intrigued. I'm like, okay, what happened? There's a story here, because those are very specific things. What went down? And it's not even that I was planning on doing anything on that, but it's like, now I want to. I think that is a natural, you know, human response to do the thing you were just told not to do. The fact that if you think it restricts your art, maybe your art is too small, you know, because you should have topics that can reach a particular audience. When I say that, I'm talking about artists who are performing for money, you know, who are going into different venues and they're being paid. You know, I did cruise ships, and, you know, with some of the shows I would do for cruise ships were family shows. That meant, you know, no cursing, no innuendos, no things like that. And, you know, that was part of the gig. Now, I also got to do a late R-rated show, which, you know, anything goes. But if you couldn't abide by being able to do both, do your family show that literally little kids to grandmothers would attend, and then, you know, your regular show, quote unquote, then you don't take the gig. You know, if you feel that that's really restricting you in some sort of way, then stay home. Don't accept their money. Don't accept the job. There are plenty of venues that don't care, that will say, yeah, let it rip, whatever you want. And if that's really where you prefer to ply your trade, then that opportunity is there for you. But then understand, when you are being paid, sometimes people are going to have a request. And if you can't honor it, then don't do it.
So do you think that, because you're talking about venues that will accept, or that will accept anything. Do you think that restricts the audience in its own way?
What do you mean restricts the audience?
In terms of who is that a self-selecting audience for that kind of thing? Because we hear people talk about it as though that's just a general audience with no features, nothing that distinguishes it.
Right. Well, I do. In some ways, I do think it's self-selecting, you know, particularly if you know the comic. You know, again, comedy is very subjective. You know, not that one comic is necessarily always funnier than another, but you have comics whose style you prefer, you know, and it's very interesting to me. I did a show two nights ago for an animal rescue organization, and I headline the show, and, you know, I get off stage and everybody's really happy and they go, "Oh my gosh, you were so clean," which is hilarious to me because I wasn't. You know, I cursed in not the entire set, but very specifically. I think language is a tool, and to say, "Oh, you can't use this word or this word," isn't very adult or mature. Sometimes very specific words have a very specific meaning and they fit. And if that's the best word choice, use that. And because that's what I do, I'm very careful in my word selection. It's like audience will hear it will have the impact, and then they will immediately forget it.
Excellent. All right, we do need to go to commercial, so please stay with us through the break, and we will return to Atheists Talk with our guest Leanne Lord. I'm Stephanie Zavan, and you're listening to AM 950 KTNF, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Hi, this is Paul Metza inviting you to listen to the Wall of Power Radio Hour every weekend on AM 950. We are now in our third year of broadcasting on the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. MinPost has called us one of the 22 most independently entertaining and cool radio shows in the Twin Cities. We feature cool people from all walks of life and from all 50 states every Saturday at 6 p.m., replayed Sunday at 4 p.m. on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
Hey, it's Mike McEntee, and I have a show on AM 950 Monday through Friday from 4 to 5 o'clock. It's a free-form hour of news, interviews, and your phone calls. We don't do 10-second sound bites and yelling and screaming about issues. That may make for great entertainment, but it really doesn't help to solve the real problems we face. We try to get the whole story and have an intelligent discussion. We also occasionally have a little fun. Listen in from 4 to 5 o'clock on AM 950 Radio.
Hi, this is Ken Hagland, president of Minnesota Hospice, inviting you to listen to our new show airing on AM 950 on Saturdays from noon to 1. Our team from Minnesota Hospice will be continuing our series titled Lifting the Veil, Revealing the Spiritual Truths About Dying and Death, where we share insights on the spiritual aspects of this profound experience. Please join us Saturday from noon to 1 for the new Minnesota Hospice show and learn more about us online at minnesotahospice.com.
Hi, my name is Mickey McCabe, and I'm the owner of Cucumbers Restaurant at 75th and Francine Dinah. If you've never been to Cucumbers, it's a buffet-style restaurant with a huge variety of salads, homemade soups, bakery items, and hot entrees that change daily and nightly, plus our always fresh fruit and delicious ice cream. We're open for lunch and dinner, but Sunday brunch is my favorite time at Cucumbers, with scrambled eggs, waffles, French toast, bacon, sausage, baked ham, chicken fajitas, brunch potatoes, warm gooey cinnamon rolls, and many other items to choose from. It's no wonder why Cucumbers has always been a popular Sunday destination. So whether you're looking to skip Mass, someplace to go after Mass, or just great food to maintain your Mass, Cucumbers is the answer to your prayers. Bring in your church bulletin or Minnesota Atheist newsletter and receive a $2 discount off the buffet price. Cucumbers, one heavenly buffet at 75th and France in Edina.
Don't believe in God? Join the club. Humanists, atheists, and freethinkers have joined the American Humanist Association since 1941 to advocate for progressive values and equality for non-theists in America. Located in Washington, D.C., the American Humanist Association lobbies Congress on humanist issues, protects the rights of atheists in the courts, and supports more than 140 local chapters. Visit us at AmericanHumanist.org or find us on Facebook and Twitter to learn how you can join the club today.
Welcome Welcome back to AM 950 KTNF, the progressive voice of Minnesota. This is Atheists Talk, and I'm your host, Stephanie Zvan. For everyone listening live, immediately following this program, you can hear American Atheist Viewpoint, an official production from American Atheists. If you're listening later, you can still catch American Atheist Viewpoint by subscribing to the podcast version. After today's show, come join us at Cucumbers for the Atheists Talk Community Brunch, or find us at today's Heart of the Beast May Day Parade and Festival in Minneapolis. This is a live show, and we welcome questions at 952-946-6205 or emailed to radio@minnesotaatheists.org. Find us on Twitter or Facebook under Atheists Talk. Today's guest is Leanne Lord. Welcome back, Leanne.
Thank you.
So I don't want to make the whole show about this, but I do want to talk a little bit about the White House Correspondents' Dinner and the reaction to Michelle Wolf's set there. Because when I saw that, when I saw her set, when I saw the kinds of jokes that she was telling, I was mostly reminded of Stephen Colbert's set just a few years ago, mm-hmm. which got a completely different reaction. And I'm having trouble thinking of it in any terms except it is okay for Stephen Colbert to say to a black president things that it is not okay for a woman like Michelle Wolf to say to Donald Trump. Do you have any, am I missing anything here?
No, you're probably not. There's a lot. There's so many ways to look at this. I watched her set, that night. I went to bed and then was stunned that there was any sort of backlash at all. I thought she did a great job, given the audience she was performing for. That's a tough room. And of course, not all the jokes landed, to be fair. But I thought it was tight, it was funny, she kept it moving, she hit everybody. And I think what people were forgetting is that this is a roast. This is what she was supposed to do. I will personally say I don't like roasts. I don't go. I am a delicate flower. My feelings are easily hurt, which is why I guess in my comedy, I try not to hurt, specific people. I'll talk about issues and themes, but to be out and out cruel to someone, that's just not my thing. And I try not to do it on stage because I think it makes people uncomfortable in the audience. But there's another branch of comedy where that is exactly what happens. From Don Rickles all, down through comedy history, and the roast is a very specific thing. And I think she was even-handed and fair. And to have any sort of critique about what she did in light of having a president who is a name-calling bully, which I don't think is an out-of-pocket thing to say. That is what it is just very eyebrow-raising. Like, do you hear yourself? are you in the room? Do you hear the words coming out of your mouth? Do you know that there's maybe a little bit of hypocrisy here? I don't know if I would take the gig. I'd really have to sit with myself and go, hey, can I do this? And I think I could. I think she did a good job, and the people that are crying foul are crying wolf. No pun intended. And I do think the standards are different, very much so. The things that a man can say, and say a white man can say and get away with, is like, did a woman say that? Like, hold on here. That thing is cropping up more and more in our culture, and it's very disturbing. But maybe not even cropping up, just becoming more obvious, because it's always been there, and it's just now more evident. The hypocrisy and the double standard of who can say what to whom and when.
So to touch on the obvious, you're black. Does that...
What?
I know.
Wait a minute. What? No, I'm kidding. I'm sorry. Yes.
I knew that was coming.
Last I looked at my parents, that is the deal.
Do you find that, and it may not affect you particularly because of the kind of work that you do, but do you find that you get reactions that are more restrictive in terms of what, and, you know, usually when we talk about what people are allowed to do, we're not actually saying people are saying you can or can't do that. We're talking about the kind of reaction that you get,
right,
and whether you're right, viewed positively or negatively. Right. Do you find that that restricts what you're allowed to do in your comedy?
I think what happens is people think that they have the right to do that and they don't. You know, so there's an ever present awareness for me that never goes away of my culture and my gender and how that's perceived. But that's also something that I can use to my advantage because they're expecting me to say this and I'm going to do this. You know, I it's part of my journey as a human being and as an artist is being comfortable in my own skin and not caring. And when I say, you know, not caring, I don't mean burn it all down. I mean, but being cool and confident enough to be who I am, no matter where I am, you know, and it doesn't matter someone else's, you know, prejudices or expectations, you know, they don't get to define me. You know, they'll have judgments in their head, but that's their business. It's not mine. You know, and having the courage to be myself.
When you talk about why you do comedy, you talk a lot about audience reaction and making people happy and letting people laugh when they need to laugh. Do you feel that there is a social obligation for comedians, or even not necessarily for comedians, but just because comedians are human beings, to address some of these issues to, as we'd talk about the press, afflict the comfortable and comfort the afflicted? Or does that not really touch on it, comedy for you?
Again, it depends on the comic. It depends because everyone applies their trade and their art a little bit differently. There are some that cannot wait to pick up arms and leap into the fray and talk about the things that no one else will talk about. And I think that's, you know, the fun part of the job. You know, there's, you know, the branches of government and then the fourth estate of the press. And I think maybe even the fifth, which, you know, are comics who will be the ones that'll go, wait a minute, that's weird. And, you know, the best of us can do it in a way that makes everybody laugh, makes everybody see the absurdity of it, regardless of, let's say, political party or ideology, you know, and really tries to get to the underlying humanity of it, you know, which is really great comedy. You know, George Carlin was able to do that. You know, he was one of my heroes. I loved watching him take something that was so sacred, you can't talk about this, and make people absolutely fall out laughing, and then take that deep breath and go, let's think about it.
All right, we do need to go to commercial again. Please stay with us through the break, and we will return to Atheists Talk with our guest, Leanne Lord. This is Stephanie Zavan, and you're listening to AM 950 KTNF, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Robert Burrill here, host of the show Laughing Matters, brought to you as always by Stand Up Records. Check them out online at standuprecords.com. Laughing Matters is now on Saturdays from 7 to 8 p.m. and the show will be pre-taped, which means that I can swear and say words like and as always, it'll feature some of the funniest comedians in the Twin Cities talking about the latest news and current events, and it's an hour of nonstop laughs you won't want to miss. And it's only on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. Our weekly Native American talk radio show will discuss national and local Native American news and events. Local and national guests will help us keep current with Mother Earth, tribal, and Twin City issues. Native American issues are human issues. We invite all people to walk hand in hand with our struggles, victories, and achievements. Listen Saturdays at 2 p.m.
I am awake. Hi, this is Kirk Duckwell with the House Geeks Real Estate Show on AM 950, sponsored by Bricks Real Estate. If you're thinking of selling your home, check us out at housegeeks.com. With over 250 sales last year, we would love to help you sell your home too. Contact us today and see how our listings sell faster and for up to 8.9% more than the Twin Cities market average, potentially netting you thousands more in your pocket. Again, go to housegeeks.com today.
Atheists, secular humanists, and free thinkers, here you are listening to the Minnesota Atheists Talk Radio Show, Atheist Talk. We hope you are enjoying it. If having a frankly atheist perspective on the radio waves appeals to you, please consider making a contribution to our radio fund. Our contract came up for renewal, and we need your help if you want the program to stay on the air. That will make sure that you can continue to have opportunities to hear interesting speakers with non-religious perspectives, and you can call up and ask them questions too. Get the details on our website at minnesotaatheists.org, where you will find buttons to make it easy to make a secure donation through PayPal. Or, if you have a business and would like to reach an intelligent, progressive audience, please contact us through our website. That's minnesotaatheists.org. Or call us at 612-588-7031. If you are interested in us, we are interested in you.
Don't believe in God? Join the club. Humanists, atheists, and freethinkers have joined the American Humanist Association since 1941 to advocate for progressive values and equality for non-theists in America. Located in Washington, D.C., the American Humanist Association lobbies Congress on humanist issues, protects the rights of atheists in the courts, and supports more than 140 local chapters. Visit us at AmericanHumanist.org or find us on Facebook and Twitter to learn how you can join the club today.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Sam Turnberg. Today will be sunny with a high near 75, and tonight we'll see a low around 50. Tomorrow will be sunny with a high near 80, and Tuesday there's a 20% chance of showers with a high near 74. Now that it's officially grilling season, don't just settle on what's in the cupboard. Add the flavor of vinaigrette's premium oils and vinegars to create unforgettable meals. You can find vinaigrette in Minneapolis at 50th and Xerxes, and at 287 Water Street in downtown Excelsior. More online at vinaigrettemn.com.
Welcome back to Atheists Talk on AM 950, KTNF, the progressive voice of Minnesota. I'm your host, Stephanie Zavan. Atheists Talk is an unusual show. Very few places in the U.S. can someone randomly turn on commercial radio and hear a bunch of atheists talking about topics that interest them. Much of the work to keep us on the air is done by a dedicated group of volunteers, but we need your help, too. Today we'd like to thank in particular Janice for her recent donation and the attendees of the Flying Spaghetti Monster 5th Sunday Dinner. If you'd like to make a tax-deductible donation to our radio fund, please visit minnesotaatheists.org or search for Atheists Talk on Patreon and sign up for exclusive content. Atheists Talk is produced with funding from Minnesota Atheists and Cucumbers Restaurant. If you'd like to advertise on this program, please contact us at radio@minnesotaatheists.org. Our music is composed by member Brent Michael Davids and used with permission. Opinions expressed on the show are those of the speakers. You can find Minnesota Atheists public policy positions at minnesotaatheists.org. While you're on the site, check out our previous shows, browse our articles to see what we're up to, check out our meetup calendar, or sign up for our weekly email to find out about upcoming events and connect with other atheists. And consider becoming a member of Minnesota Atheists if you're not already. Support our work and help steer our future direction. If you have a question or comment on today's show, please call us at 952-946-6205, email to radio@minnesotaatheists.org, or find Atheists Talk on Twitter. Leanne Lord is talking with us this morning about being funny without being a jerk. And I would like to get back to talking about George Carlin, which we were doing when we went to commercial, but first we have a call. This is Alan.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, so I heard you talking about the correspondence dinner. What do you think was either right or wrong about that?
It's hard for me to point out what's wrong. And I think part of the problem is I'm a comic and I see the world a little differently. And so maybe I was listening with a different ear. I don't see much that she did wrong there, except step on people's toes and make them uncomfortable, which is sometimes what comedy does. What was right was that she stuck to her guns. If she did a line that didn't work, that didn't sort of resonate with the room or get a big laugh, she moved on to the next thing. She didn't linger, which is deadly, so, you know, to let that, you know, sit there.
So was it wrong for people to criticize her?
No, not at all. Again, that's the risk you take. That's free speech. You know, you do have the right to get up and say what you want to say, and then other people get up and get to comment on that. That's kind of the deal that we have here. So I would not say that you know, that she should be immune from criticism. I take issue with some of the criticism. I think some of it's unfair, especially coming, you know, from a direction where, you know, that folks are very mean and critical. So
now,
I wouldn't stifle that part of the debate at all.
All right, so you were talking about George Carlin and really appreciating George Carlin as somebody who dove into politics and questioned the unquestionable there. And I really appreciate that perspective, because a lot of the time when people talk about George Carlin, they don't seem to get past the fact that he was breaking taboos as though he were doing it willy-nilly. You know, here's taboo, oh, got to break it. And what you're and what you're suggesting is a much more thoughtful approach than I think he gets credit for, which is why he's so weird.
Right. Well, maybe that I'm layering my own view of it on top of it. You know, I do know that he was incredibly prolific, and was a writer at heart. And so, you know, I imagine that he did this, you know, very thoughtfully and deliberately. You know, comedy on that level, you know, it might look like you just thought that up. No, you worked on that. That took effort and writing and planning and practice and, you know, doing it and watching the jokes crash and burn. And then, you know, figuring out, okay, how do I fix this? How do I say this? You know, what's the right amount of energy or passion? What's the right joke to go before it or after it? I mean, there really is a lot of work that goes into a comedy set. And then particularly one where you are poking the bear. Because immediately, you know, it's very possible to walk in and divide the room. You know, 50% of the people are going to love you. You know, 50 are going to hate you. And then how do you do that? I mean, some of my favorite shows have been people that have come up to me at the end and went, I didn't agree with you, but you were funny. That is the best compliment ever. Because if we can get there, if we can get to, no, we don't agree with each other, but let's keep talking, you know, let's keep laughing. I think that is the path we're supposed to be going as human beings. We are going backwards. We're going, well, I don't agree with you, and I don't agree with you, and war. And it's like, wow, I thought we were supposed to be better. Who forgot to go to human class and work on this? So I think, you know, comedy has that dual thing that it can do. It can poke the bear. It can take on those taboos. It can make people uncomfortable, but it can also make people happy. And it can sort of, that laughter can be that cleansing breath that, okay, we're laughing. It's still serious. Okay, let's talk. Let's be grown up. And I think George was amazing at that.
So you mentioned the amount of work that goes into it. And when I think about the fact that we are having these ongoing fights and sometimes flat out battles, war, as you say, particularly on things like social media. Do you think that's affected by the fact that there's a tendency for everybody who thinks they can get a laugh to think that what they're doing is the same as what you're doing?
Yes. Everybody thinks they're funny. And
well,
they are.
Okay.
Yes. And unless you're a sociopath, everyone has a sense of humor. You know, it's in us. It's in our DNA. You know, the first thing a baby does that people are amazed at is when a baby can smile. or laugh. So, and you want to be able to evoke that in other people. It's one of our social skills. There's a difference between that and doing it professionally. You know, getting on stage and making a room of strangers, a room full of strangers laugh, you know, or broader audience. And that's when more care is taken. Not that you're scripting every single, you know, semicolon, but there's a higher responsibility there. Because not everybody's going to share your opinion, or they're not going to share the background information for the joke you're about to tell. So the setup, you know, very technically, the setup has got to be the least amount of information so that everybody knows what you're talking about. And then the punchline is you're proving your point with something funny that leads people in a direction that they didn't expect to go. So yeah, it is work. You know, I used to teach stand up, and the first question is, how do I make money? I'm like, ugh.
We're not even
there
yet.
I don't think you walk into law school first day and go, how do I make money? There's actually a craft here to be learned and honed and practiced, and you fall on your face a lot, and you do jokes that you go, wow, I shouldn't have done that, you know, but there's supposed to be room in the art and room in the creativity to make that mistake and figure out how to do it better with hopefully hurting the least amount of people possible. but the china's going to get broken.
All right. And we do have another caller, Mike from Phoenix. Go ahead.
Hey, Steffi and Leanne. Really enjoying the show. It's just an example of how the programming reflects the interests of atheists rather than being always about atheism. And I think you're a very entertaining comic, Leanne. And I live in Phoenix now. I used to live here in the Twin Cities. But I was wondering, do you tour? Do you ever get down to Phoenix? I'd like to come and see you sometime.
I do tour. I have not been to Phoenix. I would love to. I should find out what your local comedy club is there, although I actually perform more for, you know, organizations that have events and they bring me in. But either way would work. But I have not so far, but I would love to.
Well, I'll watch for you and hopefully you'll get down there. And thanks for being on the show.
Thank you for listening and being so kind.
So you were talking about hurting the fewest people possible. and obviously that is a whole thing in itself. But we have a couple more minutes of this part of the show left, and then we'll record a Patreon extra. Are there more things you'd like to say about how you go about doing that?
Yeah, well, first let me say, comedy is a rough sport. It's a contact sport. Someone's feelings are going to be hurt. And the more important or close an issue is to you, the more likely your feelings are going to be hurt by it. Because there is always a target in comedy. So I don't want to say that no one gets hurt. Someone's going to be offended. But there's a way to tackle that topic. I talk a lot about my family. I say I have two kids now. I have a 77 and an 84-year-old, you know, and I talk about what that's like. And I've had both professionals in the caregiving industry, you know, like, you know, home care, as well as people who are, they're the parents, you know, come up to me and say, wow, you talk about that. You make people laugh with such compassion and you're not mean. And that's intentional. Because, you know, if you're lucky or whatever that combination of things is, you might be the 85-year-old who now can't drive anymore. And how do we handle that? You know, one of my favorite stories I like to tell is taking my dad to a doctor's appointment. And he was feeling kind of down on himself. And he turned to me and he said, I'm really sorry. I'm not the man I used to be. And I turned to him and I said, well, neither am I. And then he said, with all the wonder of a 5-year-old, you used to be a man? And I said, well, no, but we have a lot more options now. And so, you know, you're taking something that, you know, is a very sensitive issue, you know, getting older, being sick, being vulnerable, and then someone being in the position of having to look out for you. And how do we come together and do that and then talk about it and compassionately make it funny. And I guess kind of what I do now. And I'm not saying that there's some folks that won't be offended that I refer to my parents as my kids, you know, but I could say a lot worse things.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us on the air, Leanne. As I said, we will record a Patreon extra. But for folks who are looking for more information on you, you can go to veryfunnylady.com or catch up with you on Twitter or Facebook, where they can find you under your name. I'd like to thank our audience for tuning in to Atheists Talk today and listening with us as we talk about comedy. And we're occasionally funny. Okay, Leanne's a lot funnier than I am. but this is Stephanie Zavan, your host. Please join us again next Sunday for Atheists Talk. I am proud to be on the air with Minnesota Atheists, and I hope that you appreciate the show. The show depends on the generous support of our members, our sponsors, and our donors. Please consider supporting the show through the donation link at MinnesotaAtheists.org. This is Atheists Talk on AM 950, KTNF, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Have a great Sunday.
Connections Radio Show is all about tapping into our hardwired hunger to connect. We examine meaningful connections to ourselves, our community, and the world around us. By opening the door to innovative insights by a wide variety of interesting guests, we'll make the connections to something bigger than ourselves. Join me, Lori Fitz, your host of Connections Radio Show, and together, we'll make the connections. Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Crazy about pets? We are too. The Pet Connection Show is a great venue for fun, informative, and creative conversations about pets. Join myself, Kathy Menard, and Dr. Nicole Parole, along with guests who are leaders in the dynamic and growing pet industry, as we discuss healthcare, relationships, behaviors, and even political issues as they relate to our pets. So come, sit, stay for the Pet Connection Show, Sundays 11 a.m. to noon on AM 950 Radio, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Hi, my name is Mickey McCabe. I'm the owner of Cucumbers Restaurant at 75th and France in Edina. Many who have dined at Cucumbers are of the opinion that our buffet has evolved from an older, more country-style buffet. They look at our 50-foot salad bar and can imagine a smaller ancestor with far fewer choices. An ancestor that didn't offer as many hot selections or have a bakery with fresh baked muffins and breads. Didn't offer homemade soups and lacked the fresh fruit and ice cream bar that Cucumbers customers have grown to love. But some will say, where are the transitional buffets? In addition, they look at everything that we offer and say that Cucumbers is irreducibly complex. If you were to move just one of our offerings, the entire buffet wouldn't function. Well, I would like to think that Cucumbers was intelligently designed, since I helped design it. But at the same time, it truly is an evolutionary step up the buffet ladder. And as always, if you bring in your Atheist newsletter or church bulletin, you will receive a $2 discount off the buffet price. Cucumbers, one heavenly buffet at 75th and France in Edina.
I've never met another atheist.
Sure you have. Non-believers make up 12% of the population.
Then where are they?
You can meet us at book clubs, pub crawls, discussion groups, movie nights, monthly meetings.
Okay, I get it. How am I going to keep track of all this?
Easy. Sign up for Minnesota Atheist Meetup Group and subscribe to AWE.
What's a meetup group?
Meetup is an online networking site that helps people build communities. We have over 700 members with at least two events every week.
And what is AWE?
It stands for Atheist Weekly Email. It comes out every Friday and lists everything that's going on.
How do I sign up?
Go to the Minnesota Atheists website, MinnesotaAtheists.org. On the left, click on the words Get Awe-Inspired.
And for the meetup?
Look for the red meetup badge on the right. Above it are the words Click Here to check out the meetup group.
I'm sold. Minnesota Atheists, Meetup, and AWE. What's that website again?
MinnesotaAtheists.org.
Hello and welcome to the American Atheist Viewpoint. I'm Nick Fish, National Program Director for American Atheists, and thank you as always for joining us. This week we're back from our national convention in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, and had a really fantastic convention with more than 850 people, including more than 300 people from Oklahoma. This has been one of our larger conventions lately, and is certainly one that was that exceeded our expectations for Oklahoma City. The venue that we were holding the convention at only held about 600 people, and so we actually had to have an overflow room for all the folks who registered a little bit later. We had a great time with keynote speaker Hugh Laurie, just some really fantastic conversation with him and Dave Silverman. We had really fantastic speakers ranging from the Reverend Barry Lynn, former executive director of Americans United for Separation of Church and State, to Brooke Binkowski, the managing editor of Snopes.com, Gavin Grimm, a civil rights activist, Mary Johnson, a former nun with the with Mother Teresa's order. Just some really fantastic speakers with some really compelling stories about a wide range of topics. On top of that, it wasn't just the speakers. I don't think anyone attends American Atheists National Convention solely for the speakers. Certainly, we want to have new and interesting folks up on stage to present topics that have never been heard before, to present new faces, and to fully represent our community. But one of the main reasons that people come to our events is for the community. And that's what I want to talk about this week. One of the things that we really talk about a lot here at American Atheists is, how do we provide a support network? How do we help folks who are leaving religion to find the things that they've left behind and the things that kept them in the pews for as long as it did? That's one of the main struggles, is how do you organize people who are suspicious of organized religion? How do you unite people around a common thing other than not believing in God? That's the struggle. That's the question that we have to reconcile, and how the thing that we have to do if we're going to accomplish many of the things that we're setting out to do, especially in the arena of politics and creating an atheist voting bloc, and in normalizing atheism. This is a really key component to what we want to do, is building communities that people want to be a part of. And I think we were very successful with that with our national convention, and creating a group, creating an environment, creating an atmosphere that people felt safe in, and that they felt was about more than just, you know, getting around and talking about not believing in God, which is the sort of stereotype or the caricature that folks in the media like to have about our events, where they'll literally ask me, what do you guys do? Just get around and agree that there is no God? And the answer to that question is no. We talk about much more, and we do much more. So in addition to talking about how we're going to build these communities and giving folks really tangible tools to do that, we put our money where our mouth is. American Atheists donated $7,500 to a food bank in order to package 30,000 meals for less fortunate folks in Oklahoma City. This was done in partnership with a group called the Outreach Project, and we worked for about 2 hours packaging those 30,000 meals, and it was a really inspirational thing for us to do, and something that the folks who stuck around on Sunday evening really had a great time doing. Because it, you know, it had nothing to do with atheism. It had everything to do with making our communities better. And that's the common thread that ties all of our groups and all of us together, is we know that we're the ones that have to make the change. We're the ones who we have to rely on if we want to improve the quality of life in our communities. And so it's something that we really want to stress. And it's something that with our shift toward local activism, and with our emphasis on working in small communities to normalize atheism and to build robust affiliates and robust groups to provide community for folks who are leaving religion, it's really a key component in the quest to create these sorts of groups. We're talking a lot about what we're calling our ACES program, which is four primary areas of focus that we think every group should at least touch on, because every group that we have that is successful, that that really has a vibrant and thriving community, focuses on these three things. A is for activism, meaning being involved in politics, being involved in the issues of the day in your local community, in your city, in your state, getting active. Those things don't have to be just atheist issues. Anything that people in your group care about, that's an atheist issue. That's an issue that your atheist group should feel free to weigh in on. We're not going to tell you that you have to do X, Y, or Z. We're just going to give you the tools to accomplish those things and to get involved as atheists. Because when you do that, you demonstrate to potential allies for when there are fights about church-state separation issues, you demonstrate that you show up to help them and that you're on their side and that you're willing to help. So that's activism. That's the first thing. The second is community service. This is what I'm talking about with packing meals for folks who are less fortunate, organizing blood drives, doing things in your community to actively improve them, and showing that it's not just churches that have food pantries and not just churches that donate to the hungry or help the homeless. You know, these are things that you don't need religion to do and are a great way to build a community. That's something that many people really like that their church did and miss that when they leave a church. And so demonstrating that we're part of the community and that we're involved in actively making it better is a really powerful statement to make, even if it has nothing to do with atheism. It has everything to do with being a humanist and with improving the lives of our fellows. That's a key component of normalizing atheism. The third piece of the puzzle is education. This is a way of not just improving our community, but improving ourselves. Thinking critically about religion, thinking critically about the things we believe, and just learning more about what it is that we want to focus on and more about the world around us. This is something that churches do not such a great job of, because the education typically is through that lens of propping up the religion. But you know, we want folks to be educated about the world around them. And the last component, and this is really key, is social. We want our groups to be social. We want them to provide a support network. We want them to have fun. This is a really important part of what our national convention is about. It's about having a great time with your fellow atheists. Just for many of the folks who are attending our convention, this is literally the first time that they've ever been in a room with fellow atheists. And the fun and the social side of that is a really key component of making a successful event and making a successful group. These are the resources that we're putting out there for our affiliates. More information about these programs will be available on our website, as well as just how-to guides, because we know that this stuff is not easy, it's not obvious, and people have questions. Nobody trains you how to run an atheist group. So we want to give the folks who are on the ground doing activism, on the ground doing community service, doing education, and creating social circles for atheists, we want them to have the resources they need to be successful. And so that's the focus for us for the next year, and it's something that we really put a priority on for our national convention. That's all the time I have for this week. Thank you, as always, for joining us. For more information about our work, please visit www.atheists.org. Thanks so much, and we'll talk to you next time.